The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to episode 2 of One Session at a Time. I'm your host, DJ Luz, and today we're going to be diving into how it all began. From the early counseling sessions I had in elementary school to my very first experience in therapy. We'll explore those first steps, what it felt like to sit in that office, and how those moments shaped my journey of therapy. So how did it all really start? Well, before the years of therapy, where I found myself sitting in a somewhat plain, boring, and empty office around the ages 12 or 13, it actually began a lot earlier, back in elementary school. That's when I first started getting help, and in the simplest form you could really imagine, through school counseling. I remember being a kid and I started to run into a lot of social problems where I realized that friendships weren't as easy as they looked and a lot of them had their highs and lows. I mean, there were continuous arguments, silent treatments, shifting friend groups, or people just feeling left out. Something I think a lot of us can relate to on both ends. All that really confusing stuff that you don't know how to handle as a kid. Most of the time, things ended up with parents stepping in and coming to their own conclusion and having their own solution, which, as I like to describe it, was taking control, which usually just meant adults arguing over whose kid was right or wrong. From the outside, it looked like the problem was being solved. But as a kid, it made everything that much more confusing. It didn't help, but it really only resolved the issue for the adults. Sure, things would maybe quiet down and settle for a little bit, and we'd go back to being friends. But eventually, those same problems always found their way back in, and that's when I finally had to reach out for help. Now, trust me, looking back, it's a lot easier said than done. Back then, it was mostly just embarrassing. Like, the last thing you wanted to do as a kid, especially when you tried so incredibly hard to fit in, was show any kind of weakness or difference, let alone reach out to someone who already had this certain, I guess you could say, negative stereotype around them. To us, a counselor was someone that you only went to if you were weak, sad, or maybe depressed. It was a resource that almost no one used for that exact reason. No matter how many times we may have passed her office or seen her walking around campus, there was almost this invisible line that differentiated us and her, which really kept most of us from ever walking through that door. I remember thinking that the first session would be my last, but as I got older and I transitioned into middle school, I found myself in her office almost every day. I mean, eventually, I had regular session times, before lunch, during lunch, or after school. Sometimes, I even gave up time with my friends just to see the school counselor. Even though it became a normal part of my routine, it was still a part of my life that I withheld from those around me. I mean, I made up excuses like, oh, I'm helping the teacher clean up, or I need to prepare a prayer for my next class. Anything that wasn't the real reason. And it wasn't that I wanted to lie or be deceitful, but I was too embarrassed to admit the truth. And honestly, I think I was too embarrassed to face it myself, that sometimes I actually did need help. Looking back, I sometimes wonder why I didn't go to someone closer to me, like a parent or a close friend, someone that truthfully was more accessible and didn't have a negative stereotype around them. But I realized now that having someone who didn't have this preconceived notion about me or the situation was really important. I mean, think about it. When we think about going to our parents or someone who loves us, they're immediately going to take our side, and that's just our human nature. because I knew what I was saying wasn't just going through one ear and out of the other, even if they had the best intention, but a counselor could observe, think, and respond from the outside perspective. And that being unbiased and attentive is what helped me the most. So, as I continued my counseling sessions, I found some comfort that I always had someone to talk to. That all changed, though, around the middle of sixth grade, when suddenly everyone seemed to be going to the school counselor because of the non-stop issues between students, and I mean non-stop. Imagine walking into school every day and there's a new problem, a new fight, or a new argument. By lunchtime, someone involved with the drama, whether they created it or was a part of it, was in tears. And believe me, half the drama that happened was so incredibly insane and petty, especially looking back at it now. It was like this insane dramatic movie with one continuous plot that never ended. I mean, some things I still can't believe happened to this day. I even remember crying at least, what, 2 or 3 times a week, not because of just being excluded by friends, but because of how the adults even looked down on the kids so much. It got to a point where we were all cycling through the counselor's office on a daily basis, one after another, and that's when things started to get really messy and they began to overlap. The school counselor was no longer just someone to talk to. She had become someone that was trying to mediate a group of 6 kids in 30 minutes. It wasn't really about individual help anymore or advocating for one specific person, but it was about trying to make things work for everyone at once. And honestly, that wasn't enough or realistic. And that's when my perspective on the school counselor began to shift, I would say kind of for the worse. I remember feeling severe anxiety because no matter the situation, I was always treated differently. Maybe that was my perspective, but that was my experience. And instead of getting what I really needed, which was anything from intervention, guidance, or someone to actively help me navigate this chaos, she just didn't have that. Instead, she offered coping strategies like listening to music, meditating, or taking deep breaths. And sure, all those things are great, useful techniques, but it wasn't the simple one-ended answer. It didn't magically make those feelings go away, and it certainly didn't solve the real, complicated problems I was facing. So that's when everything really started to shift. Not only was I realizing I needed more attention and professional help, but that school counseling can too get kinda messy. On top of everything else, I was going through one of the hardest losses of my life during that time. Beyond the drama, the petty comments, and the constant worrying about who was my friend today, I had lost someone who had been incredibly important to me. Looking back, I don't remember a lot of it, I think because subconsciously I blocked a lot of that part out of my life. And that loss made everything so much more real, because it wasn't just about navigating school conflicts or lunchtime dramas, but it was bigger, more complicated, and far beyond what school counseling could handle. And that's when I first began going to therapy. Although it was many years ago, I remember my first therapy session as if it were yesterday. I still remember the drive over there, I mean not so much the conversations in the car, but the feeling of not knowing what to expect, because in a lot of ways, I was stepping into the unknown. I felt a range of emotions like curiosity, hesitation, and fear, but that all changed when we walked into the waiting room. Because immediately I felt like I was in the right place. There was a calm, safe energy in the building, and when a woman with the biggest smile walked in, called my name, I knew that everything was going to be okay. I can still picture the room that we walked into. It was upstairs, kind of small, with a window where the sun would shine in. I remember what it looked like and even how it smelled. I remember the sound of the therapist's voice, the way she spoke, and everything we talked about, even though it was practically nothing. Now, I think a lot of people have the misconception that when you start therapy, you dive straight in. Like you're immediately spilling your deepest, darkest secrets or maybe unpacking your most traumatic moments in life. But it's nothing like that. In reality, it starts off really simple, more like a, hi, nice to meet you. I mean, no therapist jumps right into the heavy stuff because they don't know you yet. I mean, sure, they know your name, age, and maybe the reason why you're there, but that's it. It's more like an introduction, like introducing yourself to a complete stranger, someone who, believe it or not, over time, you'll end up telling everything to. And of course, it's different for every person. There was a variety of questions about my life that she asked, about family, friends, what I love to do, some hobbies, just all very surface level information. At the time, the concept of therapy was completely unknown to me. I knew what school counseling looked like and had a vague idea of what it might involve. But beyond that, I went in completely blind. I mean, I was a kid, after all, in a new, unfamiliar situation. It was intimidating walking into a space that felt so official, where you had to sit across someone that I'd never met and talk for an hour. In a lot of ways, it kind of felt like an unofficial interview. But at the same time, I think it's important to remember that as much as she didn't know me, I didn't know anything about her either. And even though therapists aren't legally allowed to share much, I did pick up the basics, like her name, where she was from, and how long she'd been practicing. Little details that gave me a sense of who she was. But like I said, the first session is always the slowest, kind of structured more to see how we work together than to dive into anything too serious. For me, it was less about what we were saying, but more about observing her in the room, the small details that stood out. Whether it was the color of the carpet, the noises that came from outside, the posters on the wall, or even the colors of her glasses, those are the little things that stuck with me. Not much really happened in the first hour, but I remember really liking her. She had a kind of warmth, you could say, kind of like a quiet presence that made the space feel safe, even when nothing was being said. And what really has stood out to me over the years, as I've worked with several therapists of several different kinds of backgrounds, was that they all kind of felt like friends in their own way. They were people I trusted, people I genuinely enjoyed talking to, and people I looked forward to spending time with. And they changed the way that I saw therapy, because it wasn't really anything to hide from others anymore or feel embarrassed about, but it became something to embrace. Over time, it shifted from something I had to do into something I actually wanted to do. After my first session, I began going regularly, about 2 times a week for months on a span. And even though I didn't expect it, the more we talked, the more I shared, there was even more I needed to figure out and unpack for myself. And therapy became the place to do so. In today's episode, my goal was to give you a deeper insight into how this all started and what those early sessions were really like. From the simple conversations where I introduced myself to the more complicated group counseling sessions in middle school, each experience was different, yet each one led me to the next. I wanted to give you all a real look at therapy from my perspective. No filters, no exaggeration, just honest stories. I may not have remembered every word that was said, and that's okay, because it's the general experience that truly matters. So as I finish the episode, I want to thank you again for joining me. Thank you for listening, stepping into my shoes once again. And if anything I've said, and I mean anything, resonates with you, I'd love you to stick around and tune in next week. And remember to take it step by step, moment by moment, or as I like to say, one session at a time.